All right.
Sweet. Welcome to the 5:30 p.m. Public Affairs Show. This is the Computer Guys. My name is Rick Castellini.
I'm Matt Kettlewell.
And I am Adam Cochran.
And we have a couple guests we're going to introduce to you in a few moments. But first, we need to quickly get out of the way our particulars. Our phone number is 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1. All right, again, this is the 5:30 p.m. What is it, second Wednesday of the month? Third. This is the third.
Yeah, my alarm went off and said we had a radio show today.
Yeah, it's the third. That's how I know. It's the third Wednesday of the month already.
We can't count.
We're here on the first and the third, but it's just such an early third.
And I come when my alarm goes off and tells me I have a radio.
I'm glad you're using your alarm.
Yeah.
And you can contact us during the show, 241-8801, extension 1. If you're calling from out of the area, 970-241-8801. And you can contact us also via Twitter. Adam monitors his at Talking Digital. Matt monitors his at Kettlewell.
Right.
And I monitor mine at Help Me Rick. So we can do any of those things. But tonight we also have a couple of guests in studio from Grand Junction's e-waste. I'm going to ask you this question in a minute. But e-waste recyclers of Colorado. It's a big, long name. And we have Ken Burns and Steve Atarian joining us in studio. Thanks, guys.
Welcome to be here. I'm happy to be here.
Now, yeah, Steve.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here as well.
Glad you guys are happy to be here. We're happy to have you. I mentioned Grand Junction's e-waste recyclers, but you also are part of a group in Denver. Is that true?
We cover all of Western Colorado.
Okay.
And so the 300-mile area, basically, that we cover in recycling for the communities there.
Okay. All right. But are you associated with that group in Denver? No. Not at all?
No.
All right. Okay. I was just thinking there was some connection. I don't know why I thought that. All right. So first of all, tell us, what is e-waste recyclers of Western Colorado, and where are you located?
E-waste Recyclers of Colorado is an electronics recycling facility. We are the only demanufacturing facility on the Western Slope. We recycle electronics at our facility. We're located at 1027 South 7th Street, just north of the Botanical Gardens.
Yep. So just between the Botanical Gardens and the Sentinel.
Correct. Yep.
And what are your hours?
We're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 in the afternoon. And then on Saturday, we're open 9 to 3.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you a tough question here. Why would I, if I have an old computer or an old printer, why should I bring it to you guys instead of take it out to the dump, to the e-cycling out there?
Well, a couple of things. One, we're creating a lot of jobs here. We have 17 employees, and we're hiring 4 to 5 more right now.
Cool.
We are the only active demanufacturing plant, which means we actually demanufacture it here instead of palletizing it and shipping it off somewhere else to have them deal with it.
Palletizing it.
Correct. So we actually demanufacture
your word
here.
Of the day.
Well, that's great. So you're taking apart the motherboards. You're
correct.
Demanufacturing. You're taking apart the computers and the printers, putting the plastics in one pile, the copper in the other pile, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And the most important part of why people come to see us, we're also the best price option. We're the cheapest out there.
And normally...
Normally, it's 42 cents a pound for the landfill. Our prices are $10 to $35 for TVs. Pretty much everything else is free.
Okay.
So that's where we're a special service.
Laser printers?
Offer. Laser printers are a charge of $15.
Flat fee. Okay.
TVs range, again, depending on what type they are. And monitors are also a fee as well.
Is that all TVs or just CRT screens? Or
that's all televisions. Okay. Plasmas, LCDs, they're a flat fee of $25. All monitors, regardless of size, are $10. The beautiful
including CRT?
Including CRT.
Wow,
the beautiful thing is that a lot of people have these huge 60-inch rear projection TVs.
Weigh about 7,000 pounds.
Exactly. Yep. You take one of those suckers down to the landfill, they're going to charge you $150.
And then they dump them in a ditch somewhere.
No. They don't dump them in a ditch.
No, I'm saying no, people don't pay it. They'll
right.
turn around and go dump it in a ditch.
Not the landfill you're talking about.
But we only charge $35.
Yeah,
you know?
That's great. That's a service in itself, is
exactly.
to be able to dump. Now, do you pick up?
We are also the only company that offers to pick up locally.
Wow,
And that service is available all the way from the Divide over. So we go all the way from Vail all the way to Salt Lake City.
So you'll even come pick up that giant 7,000-pound
Exactly. Print. Now, there's a small fee depending on where you are. Of course, we have to cover our overhead for that purpose, but
sure.
we are the only ones that actually pick up as well.
Very good. Very good. Well, again, nice. We're talking to Ken Burns and Steve Atarian of E-Waste Recyclers. I always want to say E-Cyclers. E-Waste Recyclers of Colorado. They're located between the Sentinel and the Botanical Gardens on South 7th. And your hours, did you mention that earlier?
I did, yeah.
Say it one more time.
We're open 8:30 to 5:30 Monday through Friday, and we're open 9 to 3 on Saturday.
That's right. Okay.
Days a week.
Yep.
I was not paying attention there.
We try and make it as easy and convenient for everybody.
And you have great parking down there. It's easy access.
Exactly. And we unload you. You know, I mean, you might have to struggle to get it in the car, but we'll get it out of the car for you. No problem. You just pull up to the dock door there and honk, and we'll get you unloaded. Make it real simple for you.
Cool. And you can also find them on the web at ewasterecyclersofcolorado.com. Big, long address.
ewasteofco.com.
We'll also get you there.
That's the easy one.
All right. ewasteofco.
Oh, yep. Of course, I would copy the long one from him as I'm typing it into my phone.
Now, another question I had was, as we were talking.
Well, I've got a question for Ken.
Ken,
what brought about your business? I mean, I know there was some legislation. You know, I've heard something about some chemicals and whatnot. Hey, why don't you fill us in a little bit about this industry and what brought it about?
Well, a lot of times what has happened is that people didn't realize what was bad in these things and how many bad things were being added in to make the electronics that we're using today. An average CRT monitor, not a television, a CRT monitor has 7 pounds of lead, okay?
Wow.
7 pounds of lead can go right into the water stream, and it creates problems. You know, there's carcinogens, there's flame retardants in the plastic, and all of those things we take in. I mean, one of the cool things about us is that we take anything that plugs in other than refrigerators, exit signs, and smoke detectors because they have mercury in them. But we take curling irons, blow dryers, DVD players, VCRs, cell phones. I mean, there's so much that we take to keep it out of the landfill. Cassette players.
Okay.
I mean, if you can think about it plugging into a wall, if it comes out of your kitchen, comes out of your dining room, your living room.
Old blenders.
Office of your house. Old blenders. I mean, we take all of that stuff, and we're able to recycle it at our facility, and we actually demanufacture it there at our plant.
Now, you mentioned plugging in. Mm-hmm. Do you take cables, cords, the actual cables that for old, you know, speaker cable and power cables for your printers and things like that?
We do. We take any kind of wire or cabling that comes that would have came with it beforehand, and we also take all kinds of batteries except for alkaline batteries.
Oh, okay.
Alkaline batteries are landfillable. EPA says that it's okay to throw them away.
Okay.
So every single other type of battery we recycle. You know, your lithium ion, your NiCad, your nickel metal hydride, your lead acid, all of those we recycle at our facility also.
Okay. Now, if you do have alkaline batteries, though, you can, they do once a year when they do the toxic kind of a pickup down at the mall or wherever they do it.
Right.
You can recycle those alkalines also.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
You guys just don't do that.
Correct.
I did get a question on Twitter for you guys, and that was, do you recycle treadmills?
We do actually recycle treadmills.
Already? It's only January. Come on.
A resolution busted.
In 16 days. Wow.
Or they've been using it so much that they broke it.
There you
already.
Go. That's a positive.
They ran 500 miles on it already.
That's a positive.
Or maybe this was from last year's model, and they've upgraded. Yes.
Right. They've gotten too fast for the old machine.
Well, give us – I'm always interested in statistics and vitals. What is the tell us what is the average number of computers in the past or any electronics that have hit the landfills on average in the United States?
Well, in the United States right now, only 25% of the electronics are being recycled.
Wow.
And that's right now.
Wow.
There's only 17 states right now that it's against the law to throw away electronics in the landfill, okay? It's been illegal in Mesa County for a couple of years now, but the new state law is going into effect in June that it's going to be against the law to throw any electronics away anywhere in the state of Colorado.
Oh, so it wasn't statewide yet?
It wasn't statewide until this new law went into place.
Wow, I didn't
Correct.
Know that.
Correct.
Ah, very cool. So you said only 25% is currently being recycled.
Correct.
What of a total of how many tons per year? Do you have that idea?
Approximately 50 million tons of electronic waste are generated worldwide.
That's
an awful lot.
That's a huge, huge amount. That's a few landfills, 50 million tons.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy.
And that goes up every year. This year at Christmas, approximately 33% of all gifts given had circuit boards in them or were electronics in some form.
Oh, wow. And that makes sense. I mean, thinking about what I gave for Christmas, I mean, everything had
electronic.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of electronic boards in these devices, another statistic, again, I'm a statistic kind of guy. How many different metals or recyclable materials, plastics, lead, whatever's in there that's recycled aluminum, is in an average laptop or a desktop computer? I mean, it is, how many different types?
I think it's 27. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, and I apologize. But I think it's 27 is the number of different materials that are in your average laptop.
Wow.
And it changes depending on what it is. I mean,
sure.
You know, one of the worst things for the environment is cell phones. Okay. You know, they're one of the smallest things. But the problem is people can just throw them in their trash can, and no one will ever see them.
Right.
And so they get thrown away way too much. And the level of carcinogens per pound versus another type of electronics is much higher.
Hmm.
And so we definitely stress that people recycle their cell phones, because it's not something that should be thrown away. And everybody, every house has a cell phone cord and a cell phone in a box somewhere in their house or in a drawer. I mean, I could go home and probably find one, even though I recycle everything.
Wow. They were talking with Ken Burns. I got that right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden that didn't sound right. And Steve Atarian from E-Waste Recyclers of Colorado. They're located on South 7th. Speaking of cell phones and speaking of computers, we're always talking about safety and security. And one of the biggest things I always tell my customers when they need to recycle a computer or give it away even, is the safest thing to do is take the hard drive out of it and keep it themselves and destroy it and then recycle it, or just hold it and put it in their closet in case they ever need data off of it. So how do you handle the cell phones and hard drives that come to you?
Well, we also offer one of the only services here in Grand Junction that we have the ability to shred that at our site or at their site if they're a business.
And they have a very cool video on their website to check that out.
It is.
The machine is basically a paper shredder on steroids. You know, you put a hard drive through there, and it's solid. It's a big chunk of aluminum and steel, and, of course, has everybody's data on it. When it comes through the other end, it looks like shredded paper.
Yeah, it's like steroids that the Hulk would be taking. I mean, it's
And it's the big green
serious.
Machine, too, you know.
Yeah.
It is green.
Okay, so now, do you charge to shred a hard drive?
We do. We do shred.
Or is that part of the fee?
We have our facility... One of our sayings is that we're protecting your data and the environment.
Okay.
When something comes into our facility, their data is secure. End of story.
So you'll just guarantee that right up front?
We guarantee up front that if you bring us a hard drive, you bring us a cell phone, we are going to secure your data. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, what if somebody like myself was real picky? I wanted to watch you do
it. Exactly. That's where something else comes into play. We have a court defensible document that is a hard drive destruction certificate.
Okay.
And we create the certificate for the customer that certifies that their hard drive has been destroyed, and we're taking the liability away from them, the client, whether it be a wholesale or a business or an individual, that we shred the hard drive and take that liability away from them.
So I'm gonna...
And that's something we charge $10 for.
Okay. But now they don't necessarily see it being shredded then.
They can. We do that on site right there.
Okay. I was say, because you said you have 18 employees right now?
We have 17 employees, and we're adding another 3 to 5.
Because you're starting to get large enough. You know, I mean, things happen. Maybe you have a rogue employee that wants to pull a hard drive out. He sees that somebody brought in one, and he says, I'm going to take that hard drive home. I mean, but you're guaranteeing against that.
Well, the beauty of that is that right now we're in the middle of getting 5 different certifications. Okay. NADE. Which is National Association for Information Destruction. Okay, what that certification is it's a certification for the destruction of data from hard drives, media, and cell phones. Okay, so that's one of the certifications we're working on. And in getting that certification, you have to have policies and procedures in place to protect people's data. We're already following those procedures so that we're already ready for our next certification, which is called R2. R2 is Responsible Recycling. Once we get this certification, we'll be the only R2 certified electronics recycler within 250 miles in all directions. Cool. The next certification is called RIOS and ISO 14001. Currently, there's only 37 companies in the United States of America that are certified to R2, RIOS, and ISO 14001.
Hmm.
All of them are multi-million dollar businesses. We will be the first small business that has one, and we'll also be the only one here on the Western Slope at all also. So all of those certifications really help us to implement the policies and procedures that once something comes in, there's only three people in the facility that are allowed to touch a hard drive.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then it
so
goes inside of a locked, there. Exactly. It goes inside of a locked gated area inside of our facility where no one can get to it. That is inside of our locked building that has video surveillance on top of that. And then it goes inside of a locked room that only two people have a key to.
Okay. So, I mean, those are the procedures correct. You put in place to get those certifications.
Exactly.
Very cool. I'd feel safe taking mine there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
How about now cell phones? Real quick. I'm sorry, Steve. How cell phones? What do you do for address books, text messages, things that are coming in on somebody's old cell phone?
We do the same thing on cell phones. We shred them.
Get shredded.
We put
all
them right.
right
through the machine. Okay. And that's something that we, again, charge for. If the customer does not want it shredded, we demanufacture them.
Okay.
When we demanufacture,
so you don't
it goes
send
down
those
the
out
level.
To like women's groups up. Or child's groups or anything like that to be reused.
We don't, and the reason is because it's just like hitting delete on your computer. You know, when you hit delete on your computer, it doesn't get rid of anything, and when you reset,
really? Correct. I'm teasing.
it just we have the ability to wipe things in our facility. We wipe hard drives for some of our larger clients that. Because we do have a reuse department where we refurbish about 2-3% of the equipment coming in our facility, we can refurbish because the number one way to recycle something is to find a reuse for it.
That's right.
And so if it's a high-end cell phone and the customer isn't asked for it to be destroyed, I'm going to try and find a reuse for it.
Okay.
And that way we're going to wipe that and we're going to make sure that it is clean of data because we have the ability to do that in our facility.
Sure.
We have three IT techs that work full-time in our department. In our facility that actually do all of that refurbishing in-house.
Okay.
And then everything we refurbish, we offer a 30-day warranty on, too.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you have another question, Matt?
No,
I thought I heard you ask.
Yeah, I probably had one at one time, but it probably got answered.
Adam, yeah. I'm kind of
really
dominating the question.
You've asked pretty much everything
well,
I was
another one
curious
then. I got another question. This is back to the shredder. On the shredder, I'm curious, is when you shred a hard drive or a cell phone that has plastics and metals and different things, can you then separate out the shreds to recycle those, or how does that work?
Well,
you can't
use
that for mulch.
No, not at all. The cool thing about our shredded material, once we've shredded that, is that it goes off to another shredder at another facility to get shredded down to a smaller particulate, and then it gets divided up by a machine into its different commodities so that it can be returned
back to
the stream, be back into plastic or back into the gold or the platinum or the material that's inside of there, the lead that's back inside of the actual unit itself.
And does that happen in the United States or
all
is
it
shipped overseas?
All of it happens in the United States.
Oh, very cool.
Nice. Very nice.
Oh, I interrupted Steve. Steve.
I just wanted to touch on the fact that, Rick, you're not the only one that really wants to see their hard drives being shred.
Uh-huh.
The hard drive machine is mobile. It loads in the back of our truck.
Uh-huh.
We've installed a generator because some federal laws and some companies' policies and procedures require witnessing of those hard drives being shred.
Kind of like paper shredders, right?
Kind of like paper shredders. So that to cover that compliance, we actually have that shredder is mobile, and we take it on site, and IT managers or compliance officers or someone that just wants to see something really cool can watch the hard drive being ground up by those gears and spit out the other end as metal confetti.
That's neat.
And we've had the IT manager here, the city of Grand Junction, witness quite a bit of data destruction. The IT manager at the city of Rifle, some of the local hospitals and financial
school
facilities do actually witness that shred, and they can come into our facility, witness it, or watch it on the mobile truck. So we'll go to them, and they can watch something fun there, and then sign off that everything was properly destroyed per their procedures.
Yeah, again, like the big commercial paper shredders, they pull that truck around, and you can go out in the parking lot and watch them throw your stuff in there. Yeah,
exactly. It's the same exact thing. Our truck's just a little bigger.
Right.
Okay. So I've seen it on the web, and it's really cool to watch it shred. Do you have a viewing station where people can come by and just watch it? Just because I mean,
it's a
field trip.
Well, yeah. you know, we
tech field trip.
We try and create a secure environment. Okay.
Sure.
And because of that, we kind of limit the amount of people that we let back into the rear of the facility. we do have events when people can come and we give tours. We just had a tour in November for Grand Junction Recycles Day, and we had over 200 people come through that day. But, you know, we really want to have a secure environment. And so the only time we let someone back in the back is if they're having their data destruction done. We provide them with safety glasses, and we make sure that it's a safe and secure environment for everyone.
Again, for your certification. You just can't let everybody come back
there. Exactly, and they have to sign in. It's a procedure. But we're more than willing to take them back there and show it to them so that they can have that security.
Right.
Nice. Now you touched on a tour. Do you offer tours to, like, schools and things like that of your facility, field trips?
We definitely do. It's just a matter of just giving us a call and setting up a time, and we'll bring people through. We're having a tour tomorrow morning for a group, a lead group, a networking group that's coming in tomorrow morning of about 20 people. So we try and limit it to, every once a month or once a quarter, depending on what's happening. But, Grand Junction Recycles Day, Earth Day, those days we will be bringing people through our facility and having our facility open to the public.
Nice.
We're talking with, again, Ken Burns and Steve Atarian from E-Waste Recyclers of Colorado. EWasteRecyclersOfCO.com.
Correct.
Right? And I know why I balked earlier at Ken Burns' name is because of the Ken Burns effect.
Ken Burns, the documentary
and
guy.
And we have him. We have him in studio.
Different references to that. I just was trying
when
to
When I was
do
saying
a
his name,
my,
I said, wait.
I was watching my manners. Yeah. Right.
All right. As we pan.
If you have a question for, if you have a question for Ken or Steve, give us a call, 241-8801, extension 1, or you can tweet any one of the three of us at HelpMeRick, at Talking Digital, or at Kettlewell. I was trying to think if I had another quick question before the Ken Burns thing there. Anything? What have we missed so far?
We also have another website, which is datadestructionofcolorado.com. Okay. That is our data destruction website that has some good information on it that talks about the security of people's hard drives and what we actually offer them. One of the things a lot of people don't realize is that your copier machine, any copier machine since 2002 to now, most of them have a hard drive in them. Any digital copier machine does. But any digital copier machine out there has a hard drive, and it can store 20, 30, 40,000 documents in one of those machines. And I think it was 60 Minutes or NBC, one of those news channels.
A couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, they did a special on they went to a recycler, and they were a reuse department. They sell the copier machines, and they didn't do anything with the data. Mm-hmm. And so they walked in, and they spent, I think, $900 and bought three copier machines.
Right.
And one of the copier machines was actually from a sex crimes unit of a police department, and it had documents that had everybody's information on it, social security numbers, customers, everything. All of these things are on there. And so we actually shred that information too. We have the ability to recycle a copier machine, pull the hard drive out and shred it. There again, it's a very safe environment that we're actually taking care of people's data.
And it should be clear, the folks out there, that if you have a home 3-in-1 printer that does copy, scanning and printing, that does not have a hard drive. So when you scan or you make a copy of your taxes on your own home computer, unless it's a commercial copy machine, that's not saved anywhere in your printer.
Correct.
So, all right, anything else?
No, I can't think of anything.
Adam's very quiet.
No, it's very informative. No, I've been enjoyed just sitting and listening.
But if you email that document, Rick, it could be saved on your hard drive.
Well, exactly, but not on your printer.
Not on your printer.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. No, but a lot some people, when that story came out, they thought that their all-in-one home printer had a hard drive. Right. And I just want to be clear, that's not the case.
And a lot of people don't realize what could be on their hard drive at home. Well, so we have that conversation all the time, and I've heard your show where you talk about it. Letters to your doctor, letters to your insurance company, your taxes,
save passwords.
That you save, your safe passwords, your other information, emails that you send and receive, the registry from your browser, there's just a ton of information on there, including pictures, including things that you just may not want to be out there. You could donate that computer to your church, or you could donate it to a great nonprofit. And all good intentions aside, someone could access that data and use it against you.
That's exactly right.
Steve, you brought up a good point, and one of the things also is, how much does a data breach cost an individual?
A data breach can cost a company, you know, for an individual, it's just embarrassment. But for a company,
the, could be a lot more than a lot of time and money.
The average is anywhere from $210 to $300 per file that's accessed. And that includes the PR to recover from the embarrassment. That includes the data breach notification, which is state law, which is HIPAA high-tech law. It's FACTA law if you're dealing with someone's Social Security number or credit bureau. So for every file that's accessed, you must notify a federal entity or a state entity. It becomes really, really a big deal when more than 500 files are accessed. And there are lots of websites out there. If you just type in data breach into your Google search engine, you'll find that, you know, even some local entities here in Grand Junction have had data breaches of over 200,000 files.
Right.
And you can imagine what that costs. One of the things in my prior life, I was a commercial insurance agent, and there are specific insurance policies against data breaches because, you know, you have to hire multi-state lawyers. If you've got customers in other states, they have different laws that affect data breach.
Lawyers can cost a little bit of money.
And, you know, one of the things is PR, to recover your company's reputation after something like that happens. Unfortunately, the federal government has been breached. The local governments have been breached. Credit card companies have been breached. Apple's been breached. Xbox has been breached.
Sony PlayStation.
You know, Sony PlayStation.
The list goes on.
eBay, PayPal. So there's not, you know, it's not just somebody hacking in. It's actually lost laptops with data on them. It's lost thumb drives with data on them. It's that doctor that, you know, just wanted to do a little work at home, brought his laptop at home to home with him, and it was stolen from his car.
Right.
You know, so there's, you know, a lot of tools, including good procedures to take care of that information at the end of its life, and in a lot of cases, encrypting that information while it's in use.
Well, and you mentioned about, Ken mentioned earlier about the best way to recycle, or the first way to recycle, is try to find a reuse. And one of my suggestions always is if you really want to be sure that your data is not going to get breached, take the hard drive out before you donate it to a church, before you donate it to a club, and you can buy a brand new hard drive for $50. And then they can just reinstall an operating system, and they'll have a brand new computer for $50.
There's also data wiping software that will put military grade in.
Don't trust it.
Oh,
the only way to trust it is pull it out. That's what I do. Plus, those wiping softwares, takes all day.
It does. It does take a long time because it does have to go over it 7 times. You're right.
Yeah.
It does take a long time.
And it takes some technical use. I mean, you got to know where to find it, which one to use, how to configure it, take it out, get a new hard drive. Take your old hard drive to Ken Burns and let him shred it.
There you go.
Or guys,
shred
you can just
it.
Bring it to us.
Matt's our resident.
We'll either pull the hard drive out and give it back to you, or we'll shred it, or we'll protect your data. So whether you want to pull it out or bring it to us, we'll take care of it.
There you go.
But, you know, unless you're really good with the computers like the three gentlemen here in this room,
Matt.
Ken and myself, chances are that download software online is going to be more headache than it's worth.
It is. I can tell you already. I'm telling you, all right, don't listen to Matt.
Matt's right,
but don't listen to him.
There was actually a study done. There was actually a study done about a year and a half, 2 years ago, that they were actually able to remove data from a 7-pass DoD wipe. Now, it costs about $200,000 for them to do it, but it can be done.
Wow, you know, from a 7-pass DoD,
they were able to remove data from that hard drive. Now, it did cost, like I said, $200,000. Yeah. You know, but, I mean, if a company has secrets, you know, they're building a product, okay, and they have a prototype for that product. It's saved on the hard drive. The schematics are on there. They're selling that product for $200, and they're selling millions of them, okay? That means that prototype is worth a lot more than $200,000.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody's going to spend that money to recover that data if they possibly can.
Yeah.
But zero data can be recovered from a hard drive that's shredded. Grounded to shrapnel.
That's right. Yeah,
exactly. And then it gets melted down, you know, yeah, back into its core, aluminum and
good
steel.
Good luck with that.
It could be like Argo, where some government could get the little kids to put the shards
together. Yeah, there you go.
One great example I like to give, because people will, you know, they'll take their hard drive out in the garage and they'll bang it with a ball peen hammer and they'll run over it with their car, or they'll get their blowtorch out and have a little fun with it, you know. A lot of people don't know that there was a hard drive drive on the Space Shuttle Columbia that had a specific experiment on it that was billions of dollars to create this experiment. Well, that hard drive was found in a dry lake bed in Texas, and they were able to recover 80% of the information on that hard drive after the disaster of the Space Shuttle Columbia. Again, that recovery method took well over $1 million and a special laboratory, but, you know,
it's possible.
It's possible. And, you know, taking that extra precaution just to make sure it's been destroyed is well worth the whopping $10 we charge, or that taking it to any responsible recycler can help with. Not every recycling company or not every guy that shows up in his pickup truck is a responsible recycler. So you want to do a little due diligence and check the company you're working with or the people that are offering to pick up stuff.
Very good.
You know, we also have over $5 million in insurance to protect every single person out there. We're recycling this material and data breach and liability and all of those type of things we have in place to protect the customers when this situation is going on.
Very good. Well, Ken and Mr. Steve, we appreciate you guys stopping in today. Again, from E-Waste Recyclers of Colorado at ewasterecyclersofco.com.
ewasterecyclersofco.com.
It's drop just, the Colorado.
Yeah, I mean, drop well, the recyclers.
They recyclers. E-Waste of CO. Okay.
Yeah, ewasterecyclersofco.com.
We're going to have to. I know they're located on South 7th between Sentinel and the Botanical Gardens on South 7th.
Very good.
For those of you that are listening, replay the podcast.
There you go. There you go. It's in there
Rick.
Somewhere.
Yeah, go to helpmerick.com and download the podcast tomorrow, and you should be good shape.
As a guy that does all the internet marketing, just type in e-waste into your Google browser and we'll come up.
Nice.
There you go.
Conjunction nice. Or any.
You guys are on the Google, huh?
We're number Great. One if you type in the word recyclers, Ooh. Period. You type wow. in the word recyclers, e-waste recyclers of Colorado is number one on Google search.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Wow.
Who's doing the marketing for you guys?
That would be Steve.
Steve. Yeah. Very nice. Very nice. That's very good. What's it called? SR?
SEO.
SEO.
Search engine optimization.
Very nice. I'm good. Impressed.
I had good mentors in that field. Thank you, Matthew.
Well, cool. Guys, we appreciate you taking time this evening to talk with us and talk with the listeners. And good luck and keep on recycling out there.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks, Ken. Have a good night. All right, 241-8801, extension 1. If you have questions about recycling, we'll try to answer some of them. If these guys want to hang out for a half hour, you're welcome to. And if we get other questions, we'll patch you in. But we'll open up the floor now for the next half hour to all computer questions, tech. We say computer questions, but anything
technology, technology related.
Tonight we'll answer questions about recycling, as well as cell phones, viruses, laptops, tablets. If you got a new iPad for Christmas and you want to know what to do with it, or maybe you got a Best Buy gift certificate and you want to know what should I buy.
Ooh, yeah, we'll help you with that.
We'll help
one.
You with that. We like to shop for other people.
Yeah, that's right. We love to shop for other people. Love it.
241-8801 extension 1 is the phone number. Now, sometimes Matt, you come in with questions that have come in before the show.
Yeah, I had none today, but okay. I have one for you guys.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so let's say somebody does call in with a Best Buy, you know, gift card question. Yes. Would either of you recommend the Surface yet?
No.
No.
Okay, and that's interesting you say that because did you hear what Samsung said to the Surface RT?
No.
They said exactly that. They said no.
Meaning what? Would
they are not going to build any tablet for the Surface RT. Sure. Their reasoning was that Microsoft has botched things so badly.
You mean the Windows RT?
The Windows RT. Yeah, I'm sorry, what did I say? I said Surface RT.
Surface is Microsoft
right.
device.
Yeah, I meant Windows RT. Right. And they basically said Windows has botched things up.
Okay, let's back up one quick second. To define for folks, we have Windows 8 was released in October.
Yeah.
Windows 8 is the commercial version of, operating system from Microsoft. Right. They released Windows 8, but they released another kind of, as they do sometimes, a kind of a subpar version of the operating system called Windows RT.
RT, which is designed for tablets. They don't have Windows 8 proper actually out yet.
Mm-hmm. Not yet, do they?
No, yeah. It's RT that's actually out.
Right, the Pro isn't out there
no,
yet.
Is Pro out there? I don't think so. Windows 8.
We just installed it on a machine just the other day.
Sorry, I was thinking of something else.
No, no, on a tablet though.
Not
on the Surface tablet yet.
Right.
You were right.
Yeah. So what basically what Samsung is saying is that
I'm sorry, gotta finish defining RT.
Oh,
RT.
Oh, it stands for ERT.
but what it is, it's designed to be like the iPad, where the only thing it'll run is apps from the Windows Store.
Right.
Right.
It won't run your full version Microsoft Office. It won't run if you want to put Final Cut Pro on, or not Final Cut Pro, Adobe Premiere or Avid.
Yeah,
you can't add anything to it that's not in the App Store. So basically, it's kind of useless. So go ahead.
So Samsung has basically said that Microsoft has botched up the whole marketing thing with this Windows RT. They're a big company to be saying that. They basically say, okay, if the tech guys like us are having this kind of a discussion where we can't even explain Windows 8 very well,
right?
They say that they are going to have to expend so many dollars in marketing in just educating the public on what Microsoft products are.
Right.
They say they can't make a dollar by selling tablets. They would have to spend too much on educating the public. So Samsung said, forget it. We're not going to.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Does Samsung make any Android tablets?
Yes.
They make a whole bunch.
Galaxy.
The Galaxy Tab.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Note, which is a phone tablet.
Well, right. There's a new name. I heard that the other day.
A phablet.
They're getting bigger.
My brother has one of those. I'm not that impressed, but he is.
So. I like phablets.
Yeah.
Do you?
I do.
You almost had one.
I wanted one. Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
We have a phone call. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam and Matt. We're answering tech questions and all that. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm one of those guys that did get an iPad for Christmas.
Oh, good.
And it's sort of forcing me to get some internet. We don't have it at the house right now. I have an iPhone 4. I've just been using 3G, and I've just been using that to surf and get information. And I bought a $20 personal hotspot app for the phone. And that comes with 2 gigs for the iPad.
Sure.
And I was wondering if I'm not sure if that's going to be the most economical way to go. 2 gigs, you can set up pretty quick.
Right.
And I was just kind of wondering what recommendations you might have for getting internet or whatever.
Well, your main problem isn't the 2 gigs is a limit because, you know, it is limiting because it does mean you can't do a lot with it as far as downloads. But the worst part about that is the speed. Are you on Verizon or who are you on?
Yeah, Verizon.
Yeah, see, your speed, I mean, you have...
Well, the new 4G, it's better.
It's better,
4G,
but,
it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it's better, but it still is no... it's doable. There is a higher data plan than the 2 gig, but by that time you're starting to encroach on the cost of what it would cost to just get optimum,
right?
You know, with a wireless router in the house.
Do you live in an area where you can get cable?
I live about a mile up Little Park Road.
Ah, so you can't get optimum up that far.
Probably could get CenturyLink though.
Yeah, I think we actually can get Optima. I do think it's cable because we get the flyers for them.
Oh, okay.
That's an option, but that's more like $60, $70 a month.
No, it's only
$45 for just the internet. $45 or $50.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not. Ballpark. Yeah, so if you dropped your Verizon down to their basic $15 a month, so you can do 3G when you're on the road or on vacation or something like that. That would give you enough data to be able to kind of get you by when you don't have Wi-Fi. But at your house, if you have multiple devices, you're going to be money ahead by paying for a service per month that's going to be much faster, more stable, and you can share it with a router much easier than you can with a hotspot.
Okay. And is that $40, $50, or is that unlimited data?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, unlimited.
Okay. Yeah, because right now we really can't watch any videos
or
streaming TV.
Otherwise, you're going to get a large bill a month.
And if you're pinching pennies, and that sounds like that's the way to go, just make sure that when you call Optimum, don't get one of their bundles. Just tell them you want straight internet access, and you will have to buy a little $30 to $80 router, wireless router. There's a bunch of them out there. That'll be another thing that you have to buy. But once you have that, you can go anywhere in your house and have excellent internet throughout the house on all the devices in your house.
Well, great. Okay. Well, that's what I need to know.
All right. We appreciate the call. Have a good evening.
You too. Thanks.
Take care. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number.
There's still people out there getting internet.
241 extension 1. Well, it's a big thing out there because you're not sure which way to go. Do you go cellular? Do you go DSL? Do you go cable?
The other thing is that doesn't Verizon actually have a wireless data plan? I mean, like separate from just phone.
Yeah, it's a $40 a month. $40
right.
Or
and that's the MiFi. And I think that's what he said he got was the personal hotspot.
What he got.
Okay, like, okay, I misunderstood.
For like $20 a month, and it gives him 2 gig data cap.
Okay, I get it.
The speed isn't fantastic on it. I know it's 4G, but it still is not the same. On your phone, it's beautiful, but when you're trying to use it for day-to-day internet, it's a little clunky.
Yeah. Okay, now I just misunderstood.
Well, and cellular data still, as Adam's saying, is not consistent. Sometimes you'll have a real good throughput, and then all of a sudden, it may drop down to dial-up speeds, and so it's kind of like a.
I'll give my 2 cents on at least Verizon's 4G.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen that problem that I had.
You haven't seen a drop.
I have not seen the drop, and I have been all throughout town using it. And I can honestly say I've been extremely happy.
Streaming
with it.
Videos.
I can do anything. Cool. As long as I'm not using Apple Maps, I'm good. I'm good to go anywhere.
Oh yeah, don't start beating.
And you know what? I wasn't going to except. It sent me 10 miles off
really
course.
Bad.
It was really, really bad.
And they already really fixed bad. That.
No, they haven't.
No. They won't ever. I just got
a new iPhone 5 today. Oh, no.
No. It's still the problem. I mean, you have Google Maps now, and Google Maps is beautiful.
Oh, and it's awesome. That Google Maps on the iPhone 5 is awesome. Had to put it on the other day because basically what happened was that the Apple Map, you would type something in, and it would auto-correct for you into some strange, unknown place.
Yeah.
And what I really found amazing was this was actually an elementary school with an elementary school address that we were trying to, get directions to.
Here in town?
Here in town, in city. And it could not find it. It would not. I mean, you type it in, and it just...
Now, Google's done a good job, but you got to admit, Grand Junction addresses can be very screwy.
Yeah, trying to
with
type
your
in
I
a
and a quarter,
yeah, or
22
a
and 3/8.
Yeah, I hear you.
It's crazy. Speaking of Google Maps, though, we all kind of tweeted each other this summer and texted each other. We saw the Google car, Google Maps car. Did you guys see the Google Maps car this summer?
Yep, they got a picture of our warehouse.
Did they? Yeah.
Yep.
And and I got my cars, if you go on 25 Road.
I haven't gone in there. Have you gone on to see your car?
They just put it on.
Oh, I got to take a look then.
Yes, if you can remember where you saw it, you may find your car. But it's kind of cool. I went on. It was between 25 Road and on 25 Road between 6 and 50 and Patterson. I'm up more towards the Patterson side.
So yeah, my kids and I tried to chase it across town, and it took a left, and I got stopped at a stoplight, and I couldn't find it.
But if you can remember where you were, go back and look at the maps because they're now posted for the Grand Valley. The new maps are the street maps, and it's kind of fun.
It's got a little label over me.
My brother thought I photoshopped it.
It's like when Volkswagen knew they were coming by, and they took the Volkswagen Bug down to the mini store and parked the Volkswagen Bugs in front of it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good idea. It's a good idea. 241-8801, extension 1. 241-8801, extension 1 is the phone number. Or you can get Adam at Talking Digital on Twitter. Matt is at Kettlewell, and I am at Help Me Rick on Twitter. These two guys also do Facebook, so you can find Adam Cochran or Talking Digital on Facebook.
Yep.
You're Matt Kettlewell on on Facebook.
Yep, Matt Kettlewell.
I don't do Facebook. These guys do. The Waste Cyclers do. The Recyclers. And what are you guys on Facebook?
Facebook.com/ e-waste of CO.
So kind of like the website.
Currently with 214 likes, I might add.
Nice. Nice. Maybe you'll get a couple more tonight, I hope.
Give them a like. Go find them on Facebook and give them a like.
Matt will get them going.
Yeah. I'll give us a shout out.
Stir them up.
Yeah.
Speaking of safety, we've talked about security and shredding hard drives and things like that. The one thing that hasn't come up today was a huge news item last weekend, and again, I think kind of overblown as always, was Java.
Yes.
What did you guys read about Java?
Yeah, they did bad things.
And what's your idea?
Big holes. But Kim Komando. Kim Komando's been complaining about Java a lot.
Oh, Java! So got to push my jaw back up.
No, there's a security hole they found in Java that lets people whatever with their computer, just like you always.
If you're
hear.
On the wrong side at the wrong time,
exactly.
You're doing the wrong thing.
Yep, exactly.
Are we talking about the 0-day one that Oracle let go in August? that they knew about in August?
Yeah, this is one that's been around for a long time. Yeah, exactly.
And they're just now fixing it.
Well, the
biggest thing that got their attention is that, was it the military or one of the government agencies basically said, stop using Java, disable it on all browsers.
Right.
Which agency was it? Do you guys remember?
I don't know.
I didn't.
No. But I got a few questions last weekend, but as I read through it, again, it was one of those situations where, yes, it's a problem if you do XYZ and XYZ and ABC all at the same time.
Right.
So
let's take a phone call. Hello, you're on with Rick and Adam and Matt. What can we do for you?
Oh, I was just wondering, I wanted to ask those recycle guys why it costs to recycle my TV but not other stuff.
Oh, good question. Okay, so they don't have headphones, so let me repeat your question. She's asking, why does it cost money to recycle the TV, but not other things?
TV, as Ken mentioned earlier, if it's a CRT TV, it has anywhere from 4 to 8 pounds of lead in it, some of the big screens even more. And that lead has to be smelted out of the glass to be environmentally safe and properly processed. So we are able to harvest the plastics, the aluminum, the copper, the circuit boards as commodities from that. But we have to send the CRT glass out to be processed elsewhere. And if it's an LCD, a monitor, or TV, there's actually mercury glass tubes in those. And that mercury has to be protected, again, from being released into the environment. So that has to be specially processed. We just can't do it here in Grand Junction. So we have to send that out to be processed better and by bigger facilities than we have. So that's why we have to charge for those items.
And why, you know, like there's a guy driving around town and he says he'll recycle my TV for free. How come he can take it for free?
Well, there's a lot of backyard recyclers that are, you know, simply harvesting one or two commodities they think are worth money. And then, unfortunately, landfilling or disposing in the desert of those things. Or he could be just a startup company that's trying to do the right thing for the environment and trying to recycle, but he probably doesn't have the right insurances. He may not have employees to support. We've added 17 jobs here in the Valley. We're properly insured. We're licensed with the EPA. We have a universal waste handling license with the EPA. We've taken the right steps to be responsible recyclers. And like anything, there's ways of doing it right, and there's ways of doing it not so right.
How do I know so do I just have to ask a recycler how do I know?
Well, a good question to ask is, are they licensed with the EPA? Do they have insurances? Can they, can you go look at their facility? Can you go look at their policies or procedures? You know, we are fully open to the public. Anyone can come in with advance notice and audit us. And we're very transparent. We have to be to get the certification levels that we're going for. And, you know, that certification level, even though, we're still striving for it and working hard to get it, is one telltale sign of whether you're dealing with a reputable company or not. There's E-Steward certification, there's R2 certification, there's Rios, ISO 14001. You know, there's a lot of companies that are working towards those certifications, but there's a lot of guys that are just going to pull off the copper and throw the rest away.
Right. And you can look at videos on the internet about how to buy the right kind of acid to melt stuff down to just get the gold or get the part. Well, if they're doing that stuff, then what are they doing with the leftovers? What are they doing with the waste? And, of course, they're profiting themselves off of it, but are they hurting the environment in the long run from it?
What are they doing with the data they find on
that's a good question, too. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, you guys. Keep it up.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I found that pretty much any business out there that's, established and doing well and all of those things, if you try to undercut too much, you try creating your own version of that business, for a tenth of the price or something like that, some ridiculous thing, then usually you're having to cut corners because businesses are out there, they charge what they charge. For
a reason.
For a reason, exactly. Right. And having owned a couple businesses myself,
the public, right?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. No, we occasionally, when Rick and I were both computer guys, he's a computer guy now and I teach college, but when we were both computer guys, there'd always be some guy who'd come into town and fix your computer for $10 an hour. And
And next
and
thing
leave
you know,
town
and then
the
he'd
bus
leave
the
town.
Next day.
Yeah, he'd leave town, or he wouldn't return the computer, or you know something would happen like that. So you know, reputable businesses do things right. I think that's an important thing to remember.
All right, 241-8801 extension 1. We have time for a few more questions, and if sure. you want to ask the recycler guys, they're just kind of kicking back here. But before the call, we were talking about the Java. So again, my question, my approach to it was. Yeah. Or my answer to people who asked me the question was, is that we Java and Adobe Flash, at least on the desktop, have long been said that they're kind of phasing it out, and they're actually right. trying to build that in so that it happens on the web instead of on the client's computer.
Right.
So when you're using an iPad, for example, anything that requires Java is happening in on the server side, which means if you go to e-waste recyclers of Colorado and they have a Java script. Instead of it functioning on your device, it's functioning on their website before it gets to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're taking care of the security kind of thing. And remember, Steve Jobs got a bunch of heck 3 or 4 years ago because he didn't want to put Flash on his mobile devices. And it turns out that Adobe Flash is going away.
Yeah.
And slowly it's being built into HTML5 and,
right.
and other things. And Java's kind of the same way, right?
Yeah, Java was supposed to be a, you know, everywhere platform type of a programming language for desktops, but it really never it started to build steam and then just never really did. Yeah.
So you can get by for the most part today, especially if you use Google Chrome as a browser, you can get by without Java and without Adobe Flash Player even installed on your desktop if you want to be super safe.
Yeah, let me make one quick distinction for everybody out there is that Java and JavaScript are two entirely different things.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
And
because Java is what they have at Starbucks.
Java's what I just said.
JavaScript.
You are good. Yeah. You are good. Just add a little
just
cream,
that's
sugar,
our level
and you're
of knowledge.
Set.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead. No, seriously, tell us what the difference is.
All right, so JavaScript is what is commonly used on websites, okay? And that is what allows...
A programming language.
Yeah, it's a programming language that allows you to add it into your website, and so you can do all the fun, fancy things with the, you know, the accordions and the, you know, the buttons and all this stuff.
Interactivity.
Interactivity, right. Okay, so that's JavaScript, and that's used everywhere, every day. That's very common.
And it's safe.
And it's safe.
Yeah.
Okay? For the most part.
Yeah.
Java, on the other hand, is a desktop programming language that has to be compiled. It's really for your strict software engineers, and it's a heavy-duty language. What was intended at one time to have been used, you probably remember the applet tag, if you know, for any HTML programmers. That was a Java applet that you could write a program, and you could run Java from the web. But you can also use it on your desktop. And in such a way that you can, you know, use it on this machine or that machine or any machine. In fact, a lot of what Android is built on is based on something that's like Java.
Like Java or is Java?
Like Java. That was the big distinction that they went to court over was, you know, three lines of code was did Google steal code from Oracle's Java?
Okay.
And so, yeah. So they, you know, so Google basically had to recreate Java is in essence what they did. So Java is a programming language. It's not used a whole lot anymore.
But now JavaScript is related to the Java language?
No.
They're totally different?
Totally different.
So even though they share the same name?
Exactly.
Huh.
Very different. And so that's why I had to step in and make that distinction because I'll have people send me a Java code and really it's JavaScript.
Gotcha.
And for a programmer, you know, like myself, I've programmed in both. It is a clear
totally
distinction.
Okay.
Yeah, very, very different. You know, with Java, you actually have to have a platform and you have to have a library and you're building. I mean, it's very complex. JavaScript, I can just type in a couple lines of code and it's added to
command
my website.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's
very cool.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
I learned something today.
All right.
I can go to sleep tonight.
Yeah, you can
I
sleep
I try to
peacefully.
Learn something every day. Learned a lot of things from these guys to my right,
yes.
Tim Burns and Mr. Steve Tarian over here.
Yeah.
I'm correcting the name there.
Yeah.
Huh? It's correct the name there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did I say the name right?
I don't think so.
Oh, what did I say?
Did you?
Steve Atarian.
Steve Atarian.
Oh, Steve Atarian.
And
I didn't hear that.
It's
I didn't hear the
Recyclers of Colorado.
In e-waste recyclers.
That's right.
now how do you feel about being called the Recycle Guys? It sounds catchy to me.
Tech Recycle Guys, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
I guess.
The Tech Recyclers.
Well, I mean, anything with circuitry, we can recycle. I mean, if it plugs in or uses the battery, we can recycle it. I mean, that's pretty much what it breaks down to.
There you go.
You know, so I mean, it's a big company to call the Recycling Guys.
Well, I mean, just you two on the radio.
They don't want people dropping off aluminum cans on the front of their thing. So
we'll take them for
back
free.
Up a little
Everybody
bit.
Else wants to get paid for them. That's the problem.
There you go.
They don't want to see sacks of aluminum cans tomorrow and stacks of newspaper. All right. Well, Adam, if you want to stick in notes or one of those other CDs there, we will figure out which track there, and we'll start backing out of the show and stay tuned for the rest of the evening and into obviously the rest of the week to listen to great music and other public affairs shows throughout the week here on KFM Radio 88.1 Grand Junction, Colorado. Again, Matt, thanks for coming in. Yeah. Adam, good seeing you. Now, Mr. Adam said, we talked to Adam before. As he mentioned, he's a professor here at the local college. Mm-hmm.
It's a university.
Oh, university, excuse me. but Adam said that he may be able to hopefully join us more this spring.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's cool.
Probably.
Awesome.
But anyway, for Matt and Adam, I'm Rick Castellini. And again, thanks to Steve Atarian and Kim Burns of E-Waste Recyclers of Colorado.
Thank you so much. We appreciate being here.
All right. Have a great evening.
Imagine it's May 1969, and we are in South Hadley, Massachusetts, at Mount Holyoke College, and we're attending a theatrical production produced by some students at nearby Amherst College. This is a very controversial show called The Dream Engine, and it will eventually be closed down by campus authorities because of its shocking use of profanity and nudity. Let's listen.